The following audio is from Harvest Fellowship. For more information about Harvest Fellowship, visit harvestabq.org.
Well, Merry Christmas, everyone. I'm so glad that you're here today. How many of you like my Christmas shirt? Do you like it? Am I pulling it off? Please tell Lisa later, because she doesn't like it. I secretly ordered it, and I hid it in my closet, and I unveiled its glory today. And so, oh man, Merry Christmas. You picked a really great day. I mean, every Sunday is a great Sunday to be at Harvest, but today's just extra special. And I know Lisa already greeted all of you and guests welcomed you, but I want to welcome you as well. And I'm so glad that our kids get to join us today. Normally, they'd be back in our Harvest Kids, and they honestly have a lot more fun back there, but they're saying yes. I'm offended by that, but yes, this is gonna be an awesome day. I love this. But we wanted them to be here with us today. In fact, they're gonna help me today a little bit with the Christmas story, and then a big group of them have been practicing a dance that they're gonna do in just a little bit. And so, if I could have all of the kids that want to, I'm gonna ask you to come join me. I'm gonna sit in that chair right there, and you can come sit on the stage, and we're gonna talk about the Christmas story a little bit. Good job. Good job. You guys are doing awesome. Good job. All right. I need a little room to get in here, girls. Ugh. Huh? All right. We got a few more coming, little humans. Back up a little bit. My goodness. Are y'all excited for Christmas? Yes. Oh my goodness. I'm so excited too. What is your favorite part of Christmas? Some of you tell me some of your answers. Worshiping God and opening presents. And you got those in the right order. That was really good. Yes.
My favorite.
Your favorite?
Part of Christmas is
blue donuts. God gave us his son. You are so smart. Yes. Favorite part of Christmas? Blinking lights on sweatshirts.
Having fun.
Yes. Matilda? Nothing. Right back there. Favorite part? Jesus' birthday. That's right. One more. Opening the presents. That's right. You know, Christmas is known for a lot of things, and you just helped me. You gave me a lot of answers, right? Like what's sitting behind me right here?
Tree.
Christmas tree, right? And decorations and lights and presents. And did any of you see Santa on your way in?
Yes.
How cool was that? Did you know that Santa's a Christian? He was worshiping today, right? You didn't see him. He was here. He left now. But there's so many things about Christmas, but the Christmas story actually starts with a promise. Let me tell you about it. In Matthew, an angel comes and visits Joseph. You guys know Joseph, right? Joseph and Mary. And the angel comes to Joseph, and the angel says to Joseph, first of all, he says this, "Do not be afraid." Some of you were here at the first service, and you're ahead of me. My goodness. Can all of you say, "Do not be afraid"?
Do not be afraid.
I'm having you say that because some of those people out there, they need to hear that, okay? So the angel came and said, "Do not be afraid." And then there was this promise that the baby Jesus was going to come. And what he says is that he will save people from their sins. That was the promise. Then the angel comes to Mary in Luke and says the same thing. Says, "Do not what? Do not be afraid," and says there's going to be a baby that's going to come. His name is going to be Jesus. He will be great, and he will reign forever, and his kingdom will never end. So we have these amazing promises that tell us about Jesus that's going to come. And I think about the baby Jesus. How many of you like babies? Any of you like babies? Aren't they so cute and so fun? And in the first service, I had a baby that I brought up here. Do you remember his name? Four. What a cool name, right? mean, he's destined for something great, I'm sure, right? And when I think about babies, I think about the promises or the expectation of like, what is this baby going to do? What is he going to become when he grows up? Like, what do you guys want to do when you grow up? Any of you? What?
A scientist.
You want to be a scientist? What do you want to do?
I want to be a teacher.
A teacher. That is a great profession. Are you going to say nothing again? She wants to do nothing, all right? Yes, Bryson? A chef? You can come practice at my house anytime you want. Yes? A firefighter. That is a great thing to be. One more.
I'm going to dress up as a Muppet baby.
You're going to dress up like a Muppet baby? I missed something. I don't know. I need a translation. You do know?
Nothing.
He's going to be nothing. This is contagious, this nothingness that I don't know if this is generational or what, right? But Jesus, he was going to grow up to be the Savior of the world. But here's the hard part, is that the angels gave Mary and Joseph this promise that Jesus was coming, but now they had to wait. Isn't waiting so hard? Like, I bet right now a lot of you have presents under your tree and your mom and dad are making you wait to open them. Is that true?
Yes.
Some of you? Do any of you ever have to wait on your brother or sister? Ever? Yes. Do any of you ever have to wait on your mom? How about your mom? Any of you ever have to wait on your dad? Now it's your chance, okay? This kid's dad's always late, I guess. All right. Isn't waiting so hard? And they were waiting on this promise. And this is why, while they're waiting, the angel said this. Said, do not what?
Be afraid.
Be afraid. They were getting afraid while they were waiting. And some of you have been helped. You've been working on a dance. How many of you have been working on a dance? And you know what? The dance actually talks about not being afraid. In fact, here's some of the words. It says, when 10,000 arrows take flight, remind me that you are my armor. There's always a place I can hide when I'm desperate for your shelter. You're my covering. I'm safe. Whatever comes and leaves, I'm safe. You've got me under your wings. That's the song. What? I'm not spoiling it. I'm setting it up. I'm setting it up because they don't know. They don't know. And can I tell you a secret? They actually just came because you're so cute, all of you. They're going to be so overtaken by cuteness, they might not hear the words. So that's why I had to share them. All right, so if you're in the dance, in just a second, don't move yet. I'm going to have you get into place for your dance. If you're not in the dance, I'm going to have you go back to your mom and dad, to your seat, so that you can watch the dance. All right, do we got it? All right, on the count of three, either go back to your seat, so you'll go back to your seat because you don't know it, or you'll go to the place for the dance. One, two, three, go. Slowly, don't hurt anybody, please. Woo, way to go. Oh my goodness, that was so good. All right, y'all can go back and you can find a seat, preferably by your mom or dad. That way they can discipline you if you're acting up and not me. Way to go. Way to go. All right, I have a few helpers that are going to help me. Here, let's spread this way so you're not in front of the table. These guys are going to help me with the story, the Christmas story found in the Gospel of Luke chapter 2. Okay, they're going to recite it because that's just impressive, all right? Let's try it. Go.
Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over the flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were greatly afraid.
Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people.
For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.
And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.
And suddenly there is with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying,
glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
Way to go! Way to go. By the way, thank you so much, Christina and James. You both helped. They helped with the dance. Christina messaged Lisa, six, 8 weeks ago, and she's like, I have a vision for Christmas for this song. And it was awesome. So thank you for that. Well, hey, I just want to spend a few minutes, and I want to ask you to consider the days leading up to Christmas. That's what I want us to think about today, is the days that are actually leading up to Christmas. You know, Christmas Day, I mean, that's kind of the big day, right? I mean, that's when, I don't know, most of you will probably open presents and cook the big meal and have family over and all the different, you know, things that you do for Christmas. And truthfully, Christmas Eve usually is a pretty big day as well. Do any of you have any Thanksgiving, good Lord, what holiday am I on? Do any of you have Christmas Eve traditions? Any of you, Christmas Eve? So normally for us, Christmas Eve, we make hot chocolate, and then we get in the car, and we do a scavenger hunt with Christmas lights, and we go, and we look for different things. And then, this is my favorite part, is when we get home, we eat breakfast for dinner on Christmas Eve. That's my favorite part. Does anyone else like breakfast for dinner? I think you can eat it anytime, any meal, doesn't matter. So we go big too. I mean, bacon and sausage and hash browns and eggs. And this year I'm the most excited because Bethany shared with us on our Harvest blog her secret recipe for sausage gravy. And so if you missed that, you should go find it. So that's what we're having on Christmas Eve. And no, you can't come over. I had a few people ask in the first service. Lisa would let you, but I won't, okay? And so that's our Christmas Eve, you know, traditions. And I was just thinking as I read, you know, the Christmas story, that Christmas Day gets a lot of attention and Christmas Eve gets a lot of attention, but today is actually not either one of those, right? Today's not Christmas. Today's not Christmas Eve. Today is actually the eve of Christmas Eve. Did you know that? Yeah. Merry Christmas Eve Eve. That's what would be appropriate today. Someone told me, they actually taught me between services, today should be called Christmas Adam. Do you know why? Because Adam came before Eve. That's why. So Merry Christmas Adam. Now I know a new thing and you know a new thing. Today, in other words, here's what I'm trying to say. Today is not really a special day, right? It's not Christmas Eve. It's not Christmas Day. It's basically a day just like every other day. But the truth is, that's where we live the majority of our lives, is in kind of the regular days, right? The days we gotta go to work and the days that we gotta go to school, kids, boo, right? The days that we gotta do dishes and we have to do laundry and we have to make meals and it's just most of our lives are comprised of all of the normal days. And as I read the Christmas story this year, I just thought about that. I thought about, what about all the days leading up to the big day, right? What about all the days before Jesus was born, right? Before the angels declared his glory, right? Before the shepherds and the wise men brought their gifts. Like, what about all of the other days? Like for Mary, there was 9 months of normal days, right? she's going towards Christmas Day, right? Towards the big day, right? So think with me for a few minutes today about the Christmas story and all the various characters in the Christmas story and what they might have been doing on the eve of Christmas Eve or Christmas Adam, all right? So Mary's so pregnant, right? I mean, she's ready to pop. That's what we would say today, right? She's ready to have this baby. And she's traveling from Nazareth to Bethlehem, which if she could fly would be only about 60 miles, but she couldn't fly. And so she had to take the road that would have taken her along the Jordan River, and it would have been about 103 miles. I mean, that's a long trip. And they didn't have cars or trains or airplanes or any of that fun stuff. So Joseph did the best thing he could. He got a donkey and he put Mary on the donkey, and then Joseph would have walked in front of the donkey and led, you know, the donkey, and this would have taken, I mean, days, 103 miles. I don't know how many miles you can cover in a day with a donkey and a pregnant lady, but it would have taken a while, right? I mean, they're making this trip, and it reminded me, because when Lisa was pregnant with Ava, her birthday is January 3rd, so Christmas time came, and it was like any day now, and Lisa's family came in for the holiday, and her sister was like determined, we are gonna have this baby while we're in town. And so we were living in Texas, and so they took us to Six Flags, and we spent all day, I know, right? I didn't do this, her sister did it, walking around Six Flags, and her sister's like, you're gonna have this baby. And I'm picturing now, I have a different mental picture of pregnant Mary on a donkey, you know, with Joseph, traveling 100 miles to get there. And really, everyone is in transit. Everyone. I mean, they're hustling and bustling because they all have to get to their hometown for this census, right? I don't know if you've driven around Albuquerque in the last couple of days, but it's worse than ever. Am I right? I mean, people cutting you off and it's your fault, and they're giving you nice gestures to let you know, and they're honking, and there's all kind. I mean, I think that's what it probably looked like on the eve of Christmas Eve in the Bible, is everyone's there's donkey traffic jams, right? I mean, they're trying to get there. And then I think about the shepherds. I mean, the shepherds are out in their field just like any other day, and they're shepherding, and they're watching over their sheep, and the coyotes are hunting them, and they're trying to keep them safe. And I mean, they're just doing their job. And meanwhile, back in Bethlehem, right, the innkeeper is excited because he's sold out his hotel, right, for the next several nights thanks to the census. And so what's he doing? He's sweeping floors, and he's getting the continental breakfast ready, and he's making the beds and washing the sheets, and he's getting everything ready. And because he's so focused on the inn, the stable's not getting any attention at all, right? So the animals are just hanging out in there, and they're eating, and then they're doing the other thing they do after they eat, right? And then it's getting smelly and stinky, and it's dusty. And I mean, this is what's happening on the eve of Christmas Eve. And I don't know, I imagine, we don't really know, but I imagine the angels up in heaven, they're practicing their song, right? They're like, hey, any day now, we're gonna go, then we're gonna surprise those shepherds, and so we should warm up. And they're like, la la la, you know, and they're getting ready for that. And on earth, King Herod is solidly on the throne. I mean, he's the king, right? He's in control of the known world. He's in power. He's on the throne. So everything is normal, except there was this promise that was made to Mary and to Joseph that a baby's on his way, and he's going to be the savior of the world. In other words, it's just like any other day, except that hope is on the way. And this morning, I just wanted to remind you on this normal day, on the eve of Christmas Eve, that the day a miracle happens often starts like any other day. That the day that, I mean, think about the day that the world changed, the day that Jesus came into the earth, it started like any other day. It felt like a normal day. And maybe for you today, maybe today feels like a normal day. Maybe today's just one of those days. And I put myself in the shoes of Joseph or Mary or the shepherds or I put myself in their shoes, and I just have to imagine that the day Jesus was born, they knew he was coming, but they probably didn't know that it was going to happen when it did or how it did, right? They didn't know that. It started like any other day. And I mean, in fact, I'm sure that Mary and Joseph were tired, right? That's what happens in the final days before a baby's born, right? So they're worn out. And I'm sure Mary was uncomfortable. And I mean, maybe they're worried as they're traveling to the city, you know? And I just imagine the conversation, you know? Mary's like, Joseph, did you book a hotel room? And he didn't want to let her know that he hadn't. So he's like, I got it under control, you know, but he really didn't. And then he's on his app trying to book a room. And he found, he's like, but I don't, he didn't know how to tell her, you know. And so he's worried and they're on the way. And I just imagine, I mean, I imagine the shepherds that, I mean, they're probably tired of the monotony, you know, of just watching sheep every single day, right? And I'm sure the sheep are like, man, my life is just so bad, you know? And I don't, that's a bad one, I know. I don't know, there's kids in here and they're used to Lisa and I don't know what else to do. But hope is on the way, right? Are you getting the picture? Like all of the characters are, they're just going through life. It's just normal, but there's this promise and hope is on the way. And I don't know exactly what's happening in your life today, but I imagine you've probably had a lot of normal days in your life as well. In fact, you might be able to relate to this. This was our week this week. Is, you know, like this week we found out that Mercy is going to need braces, our oldest daughter, and she needs an oral surgery before they can put the braces on, right? And I'm like, Merry Christmas to us, right? For the next few Christmases, right? Well, there you go, Mercy. You know, I mean, then we went to celebrate Tyler Gleason's graduation from the police academy, and we went downtown, and we were going to park underneath the parking structure there at Civic Plaza, and I was backing into a parking spot, and some, you know, New Mexico engineer thought it'd be really smart to design it with this ductwork coming down out of the ceiling that you can't see, and I backed right into it and shattered the back window of Lisa's car. That put me in a really good mood. I mean, I'm just telling you. And then the same day, I discovered the brakes were going out on my truck. I mean, they just started grinding, and I'm like, what in the world is happening? The world's falling apart. Have you ever felt that way? Okay, don't feel bad for me, okay? I'm not telling, because some of you, I mean, we don't need to compare stories, all right? I mean, but you get it, right? Is that, I mean, this is the time of year, right? The pressure goes up and the stress goes up and life happens and windows break and brakes go out and kids need braces. And I mean, that's the normal, right? I mean, that's the everyday life that's the everyday life. And I just, I'm sure that you can imagine. And so I'm here to tell myself today, and you just get to listen in, that hope has come to the world, and it's available for me today. It's actually available for you too, but I had to tell myself, because I'm the one with the broken window and the braces and the brake, right? Hope has come, and hope is available for you today. I looked up the definition of hope. It's this: a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. It's a desire. Man, I hope that this will transpire. I hope that this will happen. And so my question for you today is, what are you hoping for this Christmas? What are you hoping will transpire in your family? And I'm not actually talking about presents under the tree. I mean, I don't know what your tree looks like, but I mean, our tree is filling up with presents. I mean, we've been shopping for the kids and for each other, and we've been wrapping them and putting them under the tree. And there is expectation, right? It's like, I mean, I hope that I get this, but that's not actually what I'm saying today. Is like, what are you hoping for in your family that doesn't fit in a pretty little gift bag or wrapped up in wrapping paper with a bow? Like maybe some of you this Christmas, maybe you need the peace of God to visit your family, right? I mean, the Philippians says it like this: it's the peace that surpasses understanding, right? Maybe you need the peace of God in your home this Christmas. Maybe you need freedom this Christmas. I mean, that doesn't fit in a box, right? I mean, freedom from life-controlling habits or destructive thought patterns. Maybe you need freedom from anxiety or worry or fear or depression. Maybe you need some joy in your home this year, right? Lisa came to me yesterday, and she very politely and in her, you know, kind, passive, aggressive way said, it is a battle every day between your attitude and the kids' attitudes for me to keep the joy in our home. And I just fist bumped her and said, you're doing awesome at it, you know? I don't know what to say, you know? Maybe you need joy in your home this Christmas, right? I mean, I don't know what you need. Maybe you need a miracle, right? I mean, maybe you need a miracle in your marriage or with your children. Maybe you need a miracle in your finances. Maybe, I mean, what I'm describing obviously are not things that we can wrap in a box and put under the tree. And that's really what I'm after, is what are you hoping for this Christmas? As I prayed for this day and as I prayed for you, what I heard in my spirit was this, was expectation or hope, we could say. Hope creates the atmosphere for miracles. Creates the atmosphere because now we begin to believe, right? Maybe it's possible. Maybe the baby did come. Maybe Jesus did pay the price. Maybe there is a way for this miracle to happen. And I think about Joseph and Mary, and they had these expectations because the angel had visited them and said, you know, don't be afraid. Jesus is coming. He's going to save the world. I mean, they had all of these expectations, and they had to cling to those, right? They had to believe those. They had to believe that it was true. And I know that some of you, you've been clinging to some promises this year. Promises for you and your family. I mean, things that you know in your quiet time, God spoke into your spirit, and you've been clinging to those promises this year. And I'm just here today to stir your expectation, to create some hope, to help you to believe that even in the middle of your everyday normal life, that hope is on the way, that God really does have a plan for you, that he's watching out for you, that he believes in you, that your miracle is just around the corner. I'm here to ask you today, do not give up. It's the eve of Christmas Eve. Do not give up. You see, the Christmas story is all about supernatural colliding with natural, right? It's this baby that's sent down from heaven to collide with our natural circumstances. And maybe today that's what you need, is for some supernatural to collide with your natural. This week I took Eden, on our youngest daughter, on a special trip. Just her and I. We got out of town for about a day and a half and did some fun things together. And she was getting really excited as we got closer to the trip. She knew it was happening, and we'd been talking about it. And 2 days out from the trip, she just said the cutest thing. She said one day, she said, "Dad, I can't wait for tomorrow's tomorrow." Isn't that awesome? I mean, it was like, it wasn't quite yet tomorrow, right? The excitement, the hope, the expectation was that I can't wait for tomorrow's tomorrow. And I don't know, it hit me really uniquely because I'd been thinking about this idea of celebrating with you on the eve of Christmas Eve. In other words, like, there's a bunch of kids in this room today who cannot wait for tomorrow's tomorrow, because that's the day they get to open presents and, you know, bake cookies and drink hot chocolate and whatever your traditions are, right? But moms and dads, listen, you're here today, and I am here to tell you, you don't have to wait for tomorrow's tomorrow. The price has been paid for your miracle. Like, Jesus did come. The baby was born. He grew up and he lived a sinful life. He died on a cross and he paid for your sins. And Isaiah tells us that it's by his stripes that we are healed. And Jesus said, when I leave, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to be your comforter. And he did. He sent the Holy Spirit, and he's available to comfort us and to lead us. And God does have a plan for you. You may not believe it, but I'm telling you, he has a plan for you. And what I'm trying to convince you of this morning is that the hope of the world has come, and you don't have to wait. I mean, isn't that the hardest part? Waiting. You know, can we open presents yet? Can we open presents yet? Can we open presents yet? You know, listen, you kids, you still have to wait, but moms, you don't have to wait, because the hope of the world has come. So I'll go back to the question I asked you earlier. What are you hoping for this Christmas? What do you need in your family, in your home, in your marriage, in your life? You know, all year long, we've been declaring this verse. If you're a guest, we pick a, well, Holy Spirit leads us to a theme verse for the year, which, by the way, I'll be sharing that for 2019 on the first Sunday of January on the 6th. But this year, our theme verse says this. It says, God can do anything, you know, far more than you can ask or imagine or request in your wildest dreams. And a bunch of you, you've been believing that, right? You've been declaring that, you've been praying that, you've memorized it. But for some of you, I mean, it's taken. Here we are, the second to the last Sunday of 2018, and some of you are just starting to believe that He really can do anything, that He really can heal a marriage, that He really can heal cancer, that He really can heal depression, that He really can, right? I mean, some of us are starting to believe that this is really true, and that's why I'm asking you this Sunday. What are you hoping for this Christmas? Because what I've been praying for over our lives is for a collision between our natural and God's supernatural. Because the hope of the world, I mean, it didn't come and go. It came and it's available for you today. So I want to stir your expectation. So let me just ask you this morning so I know who I'm praying for. How many of you would say this morning, Pastor, I need something in my life this year that doesn't fit, you know, in a Christmas box, right? Something that, I mean, it would maybe put in the category of a miracle, something that would require the supernatural to come into contact with my family. How many of you would say that this morning? I have something that I need a miracle in my home, in my family, in my marriage, whatever category you want in it. Why don't you stand with me, every person? Raise your hand, didn't raise your hand. Why don't you stand with me? And we're just going to pray. We're going to believe. We're going to believe. And I didn't say this to the first service, but can I just say to you this Sunday what the angel said to Mary and to Joseph? I just feel like maybe a few of you need to hear this morning. Do not be afraid. I don't know what you're facing today. I know it's easy for the guy who's not facing it to say it, but can I just declare it prophetically over your life today? Do not be afraid. The hope of the world has come. Does anyone this morning believe that God still does miracles? Anyone? He still does, I promise you. So let's just pray this morning. Let's believe God right now, right where you're sitting, for whatever it is that's in your heart that caused you to lift your hand this morning. And let's just believe God. Father, oh, thank you so much for sending your son. What a game changer that you made available to us, Lord. All of a sudden, Lord, there's a way, there's hope, there's a promise that we can be forgiven, we can be set free. We don't have to just survive this life, but now all of a sudden, the life that you described, you said, I came to give you life to the full, all of a sudden became available to us. So Lord, we engage our hearts this morning with that hope. With the hope that you are big and strong and capable, that you really can do anything, that you could do more than we could ask or imagine or request. And so we ask you right now for some big things. Things that are beyond us, things that are bigger than us, things that don't fit, you know, in a wrapping, things that without you stepping in, we don't see another way. God, I'm so thankful that that is your specialty, the stuff that's bigger than us. And so I'm asking you this morning for a collision of supernatural into our natural circumstances. Today, on a day like any other day, on a normal day, Lord, may this day end with miracles happening in marriages and in finances and in physical health and in mental health and in broken relationships. May today end, Lord, with miracles happening of all kinds in all kinds of ways. May miracles continue to happen through this holiday season, Lord, as we gather with friends and family who need I need desperately for a touch of God. Lord, may we be a conduit for the miraculous this holiday season. May you use us as you're stirring our hope this morning to stir others' hope this holiday season. And God, we believe that you are the hope of the world. And so this morning, we access everything that you've made available. Prophecy was that Jesus was going to come. He's a savior of the world. We're asking you to save us today, to rescue us, to step into our difficult situations. And we believe this morning that you are big enough and strong enough. And so we thank you. God, I pray for hope this morning. I pray, Lord, for someone who came today who is struggling to find hope. I pray this morning that we would discover hope this morning that can only be found in you. Lord, as we lean in to your arms, to your strength, Lord, to your promises, I pray this morning for an infusion of hope. Lord, that we will not give up, God, because you paid the price. You made a way. So I'm asking for your hope to come this morning. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Harvest, thank you so much for worshiping with us today. As you're leaving today, I don't know if there's donuts left or not, but if there are, you should take them, because I don't want to take them all home. And may the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, give you grace now and forever. Harvest, go be the church.
Thank you for listening to the Harvest Fellowship podcast. For more information, visit harvestabq.org.